All right, let's turn back in our Bibles to the 22nd chapter of Genesis. And try to finish this up today, the Lord willing. We'll just have to see. But in the 22nd chapter again is that blessed revelation. Hope that's the right word for all of us, that it is a revelation of how that God tried Abraham by giving him the commandment to take his son, his only begotten son, in whom was the promised seed, and to take him to a certain place, he said, where I will show you, and offer him there as a burnt sacrifice. And Abraham, without hesitation, did not argue with God. He did not hesitate. He rose up early in the morning, the Bible says, and he took his son and the wood, and he went, and God showed him a place, and he there prepared Isaac as an offering. But just as he was about to slay his son, God stays his hand, and Abraham looks behind him, and there's a ram caught in the bushes there. And Abraham takes that ram and slays him and offers him as a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And then in verse 14 of the 22nd chapter, it says, "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba." In verse 14, then, we see something here that I think we need to think about. "And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh." And the reason that he called it there was because he said, "In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen." Many times in our past years, I've heard Brother E.W. Johnson refer to this and quote this verse of Scripture. There is a great, I believe, meaning in it. There was a great meaning in it to Brother E.W., and I believe there is a meaning in it for us today, because it's in the mount of the Lord that it shall be seen. What is going to be seen? Well, it's going to be the law of the Lord. It's going to be grace. It's going to be mercy. Everything is to be seen in the mount of the Lord. If we turn over to Isaiah chapter 25, we'll begin there. It says in verse 6, And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things. Now remember, again, that the promise, though, after Abraham offered that sacrifice there, the promise to Abraham once again was that God would make his seed as the stars of the heaven, the sand of the seashore, and God would bless all nations in Abraham. And so we see here, in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto how many? All people, right? A feast of fat things, a feast of wines on the lees, and of fat things full of marrow, of wines on the lees well refined. Now, of course, again, a lot of people today want to take that and they want to talk about literalism, and what they're looking for is wine and so forth and fat things. But what God is talking about here is the fatness of, if you will, His Word, and the fatness of His promises of salvation. That's what He's really talking about, and we'll see that as we go along. In verse 10, He says, "For in this mountain shall the hand of the Lord rest, and Moab shall be trodden down under him, even as straw is trodden down for the dunghill." Now again, He's not necessarily talking specifically about Moab as a nation, but is using Moab as a type of the enemy of God. And so God is going to overcome the enemies of His people. And where is it going to come forth? It's in that mountain. Well, what mountain is that? Well, we're going to see that as we go along. But this is what Abraham is seeing here, that God is going to fulfill all of His promises in this mountain. This is where it's going. Here's where the root of it is. This is where the heart of it is in this mountain. Just as he gave to Abraham the promises there, in that mountain. As we would trace this back, we will find out that ultimately this is where the temple was built. This is where the place that God put His name. This is the place where it was the place of worship. So it's important, I think, that we understand these. In Isaiah chapter 2, I think we begin to see this even more clearly. Isaiah chapter 2, beginning there in verse 1, says, "The word that Isaiah the son of Amos saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in" what days? "The last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established." And where is it going to be established? In the top of the mountains, not at the base of it. In other words, it is going to be on the very summit, isn't it? And as Jesus said, a city that is set upon a hill cannot be hid, right? So here, this is going to happen in the last days. Read it again. "It shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it. And many people shall go and say, Come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us" what? "His ways." And what's going to happen? "We shall walk in His paths, for out of Zion shall go forth the gospel." Whoa, wait a minute, I misread that, didn't I? "Out of Zion shall go forth" what? "The law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem." So here again, this fits in with what JT was saying earlier this morning, that, you know, the law is not done away with. Yea, rather, Paul said it, we establish it. We're not doing away with it, we're establishing it. We know that the law itself cannot save us. But there again, oh, how blessed is the law of the Lord unto us through the Spirit of Jesus Christ, for as Christ fulfilled everything concerning the law, so also he works in us that desire to walk in the righteousness of that law, because therein is peace and joy and holiness and goodness and life. No man will ever know life until he is given that Spirit to walk in the law of the Lord. So Abraham is seeing all of this in that mount that he is sacrificing and worshiping God in. And it's all because of his obedience to the Lord. Isn't that what he said? Because thou hast done this, because thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, in verse 16 he says that. And then in verse 17, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and so forth. And verse 18 then, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because. Because why, Lord? Because thou hast obeyed my voice. You want to be blessed? Do you really want to live? Do you want a good life? Then what's going to be necessary? Obedience to God. You cannot be happy. You cannot be blessed. You cannot live except in the law of the Lord, in obedience to his commands. Zechariah chapter 8. Verse 1, again, how many times do we hear that word in the Bible, Bruce? A bunch, isn't it? Again, the word of the Lord of hosts came to me, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I was jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I was jealous for her with great fury. Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the, what? The mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, there shall yet old men and old women dwell in the streets of Jerusalem, and every man with his staff in his hand for very age. In other words, it's going to last, isn't it? It's going to be perpetual again. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, if it be marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of these people in these days, should it also be marvelous in mine eyes, saith the Lord of hosts. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in truth and in righteousness. If this is not what we look for, if this is not what we desire, if this is not our joy, then we don't have anything of the Lord, because this is what God desires. This is his purpose in salvation. Now turn over with me to Matthew chapter 8. In verse 11, Jesus says, and I say unto you that many shall come from the east and the west, and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Now remember that we just read in Zechariah chapter 8 that God is going to save his people from where? From the east, from the west? Yes. He's going to save his people. And here again is the promise to Abraham, is it not? What is it? And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, what we're seeing then is this mountain. What does this mountain represent? Well, it represents strength. It represents continuance, doesn't it? It's a foundation, isn't it? It is that a great power of God as it is seen in that mountain. Now, we could read a bunch of more scriptures, but what I want to do is go over to, again, understand these things from the standpoint of the New Testament. And somebody's going to say, well, there's no reference to Christ in the New Testament as a mountain. Well, maybe and maybe not. But let's look at, first of all, though, let's go to Isaiah, go back to Isaiah chapter 30. Pass it up here. Isaiah chapter 30, in verse 29, he says, ye shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept, and gladness of heart as when one goeth with a pipe to come into what? The mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. Now, who is that mighty one of Israel? That's Jesus, isn't it? But Jesus, then, is equated here to the mountain, right? But isn't that what was happening back in Abraham's day? Wasn't that what Isaac was representative of? Wasn't it the representing the sacrifice of Christ that was coming in the last days? Wasn't it there that Abraham saw clearly, as he had never seen it before, Abraham saw clearly the sacrifice of God's Son and the blessings that were to flow from that sacrifice. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And it's still that way today. It's in the mount of the Lord that it is seen. You understand that? The mount of the Lord, or we could phrase it this way, in the mount that is the Lord. Micah chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. But in the last days, must be pretty important then. That's twice we've read those very words, right? But in the last days it shall come to pass. What's going to come to pass? That the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established where? Again, in the top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and people shall flow into it. And many nations shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For the law shall go forth of Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. That seemed to me like we read that somewhere before, right? Different prophet, but the same word of God. Verse 3, and he shall judge among many people and rebuke strong nations afar off, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up a sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Now, again, many people today are trying to fit this into what they call the 1,000-year millennial reign. But folks, let me tell you something. This comes to pass every single day of the world within the body that is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you haven't beat, what does he say? If you haven't beat your swords into plowshares and your spears into pruning hooks, you don't know the peace of the Lord. It's not until that happens. But dearly beloved, we are peace lovers. Blessed are the who? The peacemakers. Why is that? For they shall see God. Now, follow after what? Peace. And holiness, without which no man's going to see God. Even among the heathen, as much as within you lies, live peaceably with who? All men. Now, we can't help what they do, but we can be peacemakers. And again, that's a picture of Abraham, isn't it? When the strife arose between Abraham's herdmen and Lot's herdmen, who was the peacemaker? It was Abraham. And it pleased God, didn't it? So here we are. Verse 4, but they shall sit every man under his vine, under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid. For the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken it. For all people will walk every one in the name of his God, and we will walk in the name of the Lord our God forever and ever. In that day, saith the Lord, will I assemble her that halteth, and I will gather her that is driven out, and her that I have afflicted, and I will make her that halted a remnant, and her that was cast off far off a strong nation, and the Lord shall reign over them in Mount Zion. That's the mountain of the Lord, right? From henceforth, even forever. Now go with me to the Gospel of John in verse 4. Of the Gospel of John. What? Chapter 4 of the Gospel of John. Chapter 4 of the Gospel of John. Now here we have Christ must needs go down through Samaria. Right? And he finds there a woman by the well. And he begins to reveal unto her, what? Her sins. And she begins to believe there in Jesus. But Jesus is talking to her. And verse 19, it says, the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Now see what Jesus says. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem do what? Worship the Father. Jerusalem and the temple that was there was the place that God chose to put his name until. Until the true sacrifice came. But now, yeah, this Samaritan woman, you're not going to worship here, nor is it going to be necessary to go up to Jerusalem, because now you have the Lord himself. He is that mountain. He is that temple. And where is truth seen? Well, the answer is very clear, isn't it? It's seen in the Lord himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, right, except by me. John chapter 8, verse 31 again. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth. And what is the truth going to do? Well, it's going to make you free. In Jesus Christ, in that symbol, if you will, in that type that Isaac represented there, is seen it's all in Jesus. Now, JT read to us already this morning out of Hebrews chapter 1, right? But again, what does he say? God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last... Seems like we've heard that somewhere before again, right? In these last days spoken to us by who? By his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Why? Because he is the express image, right? Being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Here is the top of the mountains, isn't it? The top of the mountain. So, as we look at our text here, Abraham looked up, he saw the ram, and he offered that ram as a burnt offering instead of his son, and he called that place Jehovah Jireh, which, being interpreted then in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Can't see it anywhere else. Even we go to the book of Revelation, how does it start off? How does it begin? Well, this is the revelation that God gave to who? Gave to Jesus, right? And Jesus showed it unto the angels that they might show it to the churches, right? Jesus is the Word, and in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And so, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. Do you see that today? Does it give you some joy? Does it give you some peace to see, as Abraham saw, the sacrifice of God's only begotten Son for a whole burnt offering?
acceptable unto God in a manner that all of the blood of bulls and goats forever and ever and ever could not even approach unto. Now again, we won't take the time to do it. You know how that the writer of Hebrews speaks of these things in chapters, especially through chapter 7 through 10, right? Oh, how he expresses it there. But in the mount of the Lord, it shall be seen. It shall be seen. It's there, but the promise is that it shall be seen. Because you cannot hide the glory of God. A city, again, that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. And so, as we go through this then, because Abraham has been obedient to the Lord, because he withheld not his son, his only son, this is the promise of God, that in blessing, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Is it important to your prosperity to obey the voice of the Lord? Now, according to our old axiom, a positive that is stated implies a negative, and in this particular case, the positive is because Abraham obeyed the voice of the Lord, he is blessed, and all nations are blessed. But if the opposite is true, and it is, if you do not obey the voice of the Lord, you cannot be blessed. But listen, God is not promised, he is not, let me rephrase it, God is not just promised Abraham a blessing. Oh no, it's much better than that, right? Here's what he said, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed. What in the world is he talking about? Well, the what he's told us here is, as the stars of the heavens and as the sand of the seashore. In other words, in actuality, the blessing that God is going to give unto Abraham and to all of his children, his seed, right? It's going to go on and on. It's going to multiply and multiply and multiply. Have you ever sat down and started out with a 2 plus 2 equals 4? And then multiply 4 times 4? And then 8 times 8? And 16 times 16, and go on. How long does it take you before you're into the thousands? Right. And that's the other, a good example. Yes. One penny in 30 days. If you double it every day for 30 days, and I have forgotten Bruce. But it's something, it's up in the millions. Yeah. But that's essentially what God is promising here to Abraham, that very thing in principle. That's what he means by, in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiply I will multiply thy seed. But look with me into Jeremiah. Chapter 17 of Jeremiah. In verse 12, he says, "A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary." Man, I'm tempted to just stop and talk about that, but we don't have the time. O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And then here's what Jeremiah's prayer is: heal me, O Lord, and what? I will be healed. And then he says, save me, and I shall be saved. Now, in essence, what Jeremiah is saying, his prayer is that he's going to have the same blessing that Abraham has. If the Lord heals, it's going to be good, right? If the Lord heals, there's going to be perfection in it. If God saves, how long is it going to endure? Forever. That salvation is going to be worked over and over and over and over again. And it's going to extend through the ages and through eternity. Is that worth having? Say it again. That is the divine nature. Thank you. It is. It is. Oh, Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. And we won't have time to expound upon these to a great degree, but I think you will see that here is the blessing of Abraham. In blessing, I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed. Hebrews 7 and 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost. How saved can you get? How saved can you be? To the uttermost. He is able to also to save them to the uttermost that come to unto God by Him. Who is the Him? Is the Lord Jesus. Seeing He ever liveth to do what? Yeah, to make intercession for them. In other words, here's that: in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I'm going to multiply. The Apostle Paul would put it this way: he is able to do exceedingly abundantly, right? Above all that we ask or think. John chapter 8. We just referred to 8:31 and 32 just a moment, a few moments ago, but look at verse 33. Here the Jews are answering Christ, and he said, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Boy, I can't. Every time I read or think about this, I marvel at the audacity of these Jews. But Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free," what is the last phrase? "Ye shall be free indeed." In blessing, "I will bless thee, and in multiplying, I will multiply thee." John chapter 7, in verse 38. "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers," right, "of living water." Here is that perpetual stream, that eternal fountain. It is the fountain of the Lord. What blessed things are found in these words. But in Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed," what? "From faith to faith." Yes. Isn't that the same thing again? "In blessing, I will bless thee. In multiplying, I'll multiply. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, even as it is written, the just shall live by faith." There's no other way to live, is there? There's no life in anything else but by faith in the Lord. But that's what Abraham had, right? He believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit," capital S, right? "And where the Spirit," capital S, "of the Lord is," what is there? Oh, there's liberty there. There's liberty. It just flows out, doesn't it? It covers everything. You can never be under bondage in the liberty of the Lord. Verse 18, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into," what? "The same image, from glory to glory." There it's advancing, isn't it? It keeps on. It goes. It's perpetual, yes. It goes and goes and goes. It's like that river that starts out from the throne of God, and at first it's ankle deep, and then it's thigh deep and knee deep or whatever, and then finally it just gets to the place where you can't walk in it. You got to swim in it. Isn't that the same thing? Isn't that what God is promising to Abraham? And it's all because that he has shown himself to be faithful.
Mm-hmm.
gets wider and deeper, yes. All the way to the sea. And it heals everything in the sea. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. There is a church that is called the Church of the Laodiceans, and for the most part, that church thinks that they're rich, but they're poor and naked and blind, right? But we get down to verse 20. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." You know, the picture that comes into my mind is the establishing of the Lord's Supper, and we see John leaning upon the breast of Jesus who loved him. But folks, what did he promise in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 6? A perpetual feast, right? It's going to be a feast there. But it's a feast now, isn't it? It's a feast right now. 1 Chronicles chapter 17 and verse 27. "Now therefore let it please thee to bless the house of thy servant, that it may be before thee for how long? Forever. And then, for thou blessest, O Lord, and it shall be blessed forever." What beautiful words. Malachi chapter 3 verse 10, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and do what? Pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. In blessing I will bless thee. In multiplying I will multiply." And finally, the 23rd Psalm. The one that most of these preachers always refer to when somebody dies. But this psalm is not for the dead. It's for the living. In verse 5, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil." And what does this cup do? "His cup runneth over." Oh, blessed word of the Lord, and how blessed is that word that reveals unto us such things as is given to us by the life of Abraham. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. And of course, immediately our mind goes over to Hebrews chapter 6, right? He swore and he cannot lie. And because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. Because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Upon this rock, right? Now, the Roman church gets that all wrong. That rock was not Peter, because it wasn't but shortly after that till we find Peter doing what? Denying the Lord not once, not twice, but three times, and the last time swearing. But that rock was the same rock that followed Israel, right? And that rock was Christ. So upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Do we believe? Oh, I trust that that is so. And thy seed, and in thy seed, I'm sorry, shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Abraham's not just going to be you. It's not going to be you and Isaac. It's not going to be you and Isaac and Jacob. It's not going to be you and the 12 tribes. It's going to be the whole earth. It's going to be blessed. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, isn't that marvelous that God rewards us according to our works, right? And yet, it's God that creates these works in us, right? For ye are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that ye should walk therein, or in them. How marvelous is all of this? Can't even begin to describe it. So finally and lastly, Revelation chapter 4. I'm sorry, chapter 5.
Verse 9, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth in the mount of the Lord. It shall be seen.